today on Life Talk.
Real Christian Bible Holy Ghost-led prayer is when we come into agreement with God and His will, and we say, Lord, I know this is Your will, so I'm praying according to Your will. And so if I pray according to what You desire, ask what You desire, and it shall be done for you.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it right from our website, lifetalkradio.us. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about the message here on Life Talk.
We all want answers to prayers. There's nothing more thrilling than praying earnestly for something we believe is God's will for us, and then to see our prayer beautifully answered. No doubt about it, no one in the Bible encouraged prayer more than Jesus Christ, and He always connected answered prayer to unwavering faith. We all know the Bible passages such as, "Be it unto you according to your faith," or "Go your way, your faith has made you whole." Well, today we're going to look at how faith prays. That is, how does faith lay hold of the promises of God and persevere until God answers? I believe today's message is going to greatly encourage you, so grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, How Faith Prays.
Let's look today at something that I've been teaching on, preaching on, faith. And I want to talk to you today about how faith prays. Let's look at John 16. 24, and it's only one verse, so I want everybody to read it with me good and loud, like you've been born again. All right? Are you ready? "Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Father, thank you for the word of God today, and I pray in Jesus' name that you will bless it, that you will own it, and Lord, you will help us to understand the power of faith in God, in the promises of God, and how it manifests in the place of prayer. Change and transform our prayer lives today, I pray. If you want your prayer life strengthened, I want you to pray with me and say right now, say, "Jesus, strengthen my faith, and in so doing, strengthen my prayer life in Jesus' name." Amen. Well, so far in this series, we've been talking about faith. And we started out, now faith is, which is a definition of faith. And we learn that faith is the guarantee of what is not yet seen. Now stop and think a minute. Faith believes in a promise of God, believes that God is going to do something. And so faith believes it and expects it and receives it before it ever arrives. That's faith. Faith is not moved by lack of results. Though the sky is blue and you're praying for rain, though there's nothing in the cupboard and you're praying for food, though you haven't found a job yet and you're praying for a job, faith is not moved by lack of results. Faith is moved by the promises of God. And faith embraces what hasn't arrived yet as if it has. It says hello. It says hello to what you have prayed for before God ever delivers it. It so believes it's coming that it embraces it before it arrives. That's how faith acts. Now today I want to talk to you about how faith prays, how it prays. And what I mean by that is, how does saving faith, the true Bible kind of faith, manifest itself in the place of prayer, in our prayer life? How does it manifest itself? How does it look? How does faith pray? Because let me tell you something, if you're a born-again child of God, you are going to pray. And think with me for a moment. The very first prayer you ever prayed that mattered was when you said, "Jesus, forgive me and come into my heart and be my Savior and Lord." And guess what? The Bible says Jesus gave you the faith to pray that prayer. Watch this. It says, "He that began a good work in you will finish it to the day of Jesus Christ." Hebrews calls Him the author and the finisher of our faith. So when I pray there in juvenile home so many years ago when I was 16 years old, I had never prayed in my life. Where did the faith come from for me to pray and ask Jesus to forgive me and come into my heart? The Bible says he's the author of my faith. It says God has given every man the measure of faith. So the first prayer that you and I ever prayed, the prayer of salvation, the first prayer that really mattered, he began our faith. And the Bible says he's the perfecter of our faith and the finisher of our faith. Everybody say with me, he's the author and the finisher. The beginner and the ender. The Alpha and the Omega of my faith. So saving faith came from him. Now, I want to look today at how faith goes on to manifest itself once you're born again, how it presents itself, what it looks like. And let me just say, first of all, that if you're a true born-again child of God, you have faith that prays. You have faith that prays. When you and I said, Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior and Lord, the Bible says the Holy Ghost came to live inside of us. And let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He's a praying spirit. It says he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When the Spirit of God came to live inside of you, a praying Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. And the Bible says that our spirit and his spirit became one. Listen to what the Bible says. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him.
Amen.
So if I'm joined to the Lord by salvation, I'm one spirit with him. So my spirit and the Holy Spirit are now one. And that means that as the Holy Spirit is a praying Holy Spirit making intercession for me, then I am a praying man. If you're a male, you're a praying man. And if you're a woman, you're a praying woman. Saving faith is praying faith. Listen, a Christian who doesn't pray is like a human that doesn't breathe. Prayer for the true child of God is as natural as breathing or eating or sleeping. Whether you pray quietly in your heart, which I do all week long, all the time, I'm always praying in my heart, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit on the inside, or you're shut away in a prayer closet, or you're shouting out an urgent need, the child of God will pray.
Amen.
The child of God will pray. It's oxygen. Now you have been joined to the Lord. You've got a heavenly Father. And like the old movie said, E.T., phone home. When you get saved, God says, phone home. Talk to me. Come into my presence. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find the grace to help us in the hour of need. A Christian is a praying Christian. In our text, Jesus speaks to his disciples as men who had not formerly been strong praying men. But now that they have followed him, Jesus encourages them to develop a prayer life. Look at what he says, until now, up until now. He's saying, you haven't been strong in your prayer life until now. But now that you know me, now things have changed. You have not asked anything in my name until now. But now that you're my disciple, ask and you will receive. Nobody encouraged prayer more than Jesus Christ did. He encouraged asking in his name. You know, heaven loves the name of Jesus. Heaven loves the name of Jesus. When you go to God in Jesus' name, it rings heaven's bells. It is the key to heaven's gates. It is the key to the ear of God. When you as his child say, Lord, I'm coming to you in Jesus' name, he says, tell me what you want. Tell me what you want. Amen? Look what he said. John 14:13, whatever you ask in my name. All the verses I'm about to quote all stipulate asking in his name. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. See, when God answers a prayer in Jesus' name, then immediately the Father is glorified in his Son, Jesus Christ. He encouraged us to pray over our desires. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, I've got to predicate that with this balance. The Bible says if we pray according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know we have what we have requested of him. Now, there is where John is balancing out the whole message of prayer. It's not whatever you want, God's going to jump and give it to you. Prayer is coming into agreement with the will of God. Prayer is when you and I say, all right, I understand what God's will is. Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So real Christian, Bible, Holy Ghost-led prayer is when we come into agreement with God and his will, and we say, Lord, I know this is your will, so I'm praying according to your will. And my desire is what your desire is. What I want is what I know you want. And so if I pray according to what you desire, ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. He connected a fruitful spiritual life with answered prayer. Watch this, John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Now look what he's talking about, that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. So the first part of this verse, he's talking about us being fruitful in the things of God, bearing fruit. What is that fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, faith. And as we grow in the fruits of the Spirit, look what he says, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So as we grow spiritually, so does our prayer life. Amen. Jesus connected a fruitful spiritual life with answered prayer. So I want you to say with me, saving faith is first praying faith. How many of you can say, I've already prayed today. I prayed on the way here. Come on, you prayed. Jesus put skinny angels next to my car. Amen? So if you're a believer, you will pray. You will pray. You will pray. You can't not pray. A second characteristic of praying faith is that it will persevere in prayer. Saving faith is praying faith. And saving faith is also persevering faith. There's a saying that I quote. Let me see if I can do it. Faith that fizzles at the finish was faulty at the first. Faith that fizzles at the finish was faulty at the first. You know why I quote that? Because saving faith is persevering faith. Saving faith won't fizzle. Amen. Saving faith, now you may have some struggles in your faith. You may have some areas where your faith is not as strong as it ought to be. But the bottom line is the faith that God put in our heart to get saved and the faith that Jesus is perfecting is a faith that ultimately will hang on, hold on, not let go, not quit, not walk away. But saving faith is staying faith. Come on, everybody.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry. You can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you, too. So let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111, or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us, or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
I once heard a man preach that if you pray for something more than once, you're not praying in faith. And you know that that couldn't be further from the truth? Did you know the Bible tells us all the time that we should pray and not faint in prayer? Not give up, not put up the white flag, not walk away, not give up on God, not leave church, not renounce our faith, but that saving faith is staying faith. It's not faith that fizzles. Saving faith will persevere. And the Bible tells us to do that over and over and over again. Jesus taught, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible here. He said, ask and keep on asking. Now listen to the three keep ons. Ask and keep on asking. And it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. Yeah. Now, those three words connect to each other. Like you've got the locomotive, that's the asking. You've got the middle car, that's the seeking. You've got the caboose, that is the knocking. We begin by asking, and we say, Lord, give me a job. I'm asking for a job. But you don't sit in your living room waiting for the phone to ring or somebody to come knocking on your door. When you ask for a job, you've got to go start seeking. Amen. Come on, everybody. It says, seek and you will find. We ask and then we believe that God heard our request. And now I'm going to cooperate with God and I'm going to start seeking for that job. But then we need perseverance, and that's where the knocking comes in. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and then keep on seeking. You don't go to one place looking for a job, the place you really wanted, and if they turn you away, you don't go home and put your Bible up and never believe God again and walk away from the church and forsake the faith because it did not happen on the first go around. No, God says, seek and keep on seeking. He says, knock and keep on knocking. Seeking means I'm putting feet to my faith. Knocking means I'm persevering in putting feet to my faith. And so, listen, when I went to look for this building, when we were looking for a building for our church, I looked at least 20 or 30 buildings. There were buildings I just knew it was God. Matter of fact, I was convinced of one of them, totally convinced. Went home, told Kathy, I got a building, I know I found our building, but there was one man on the board of directors of this building who said no. I wanted to find him. I wanted to take him into a sanctified alley and ask him why. He was saying no because all the rest of the board of directors were saying, sure, hey, that's great. You take this building. But this one man, he was like one person on a jury of 12 who says no, no, no. And I couldn't figure it out, but I had to finally believe God is in charge of that one man. God is sovereign over that one man. God is using that one man, even though I hate to admit it. So I'm going to keep on looking. And I kept on looking until God opened this building up right here. And when he did, the door flung open. The finances fell into place. And God made a way where there was no way. He made a river in the desert. He made a road in the wilderness. But every day, weeks on end, we looked and we looked and we looked, seeking and keeping on seeking, knocking and keeping on knocking, and finally it opened. Amen. Paul told the Ephesian church, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. He told the Colossians, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. In other words, don't quit, keep on. Keep on praying. If you know something is the will of God, how do you know? You know because the Bible tells you what the will of God is. If I'm praying for people to be saved, I know that's the will of God. For God is not willing that any should perish, but all would come to the knowledge of the truth. So every week I pray that people are saved in church. I pray every week because I know I can stand on that promise. I know that's his will. I know he's going to give me what I've asked of him. So even if a Sunday came and in all three services, nobody came, nobody responded, would I quit praying that people be saved? Never. I just keep on knocking and I keep on seeking and I keep on asking. And eventually God moves. Jesus said in a parable, men ought always to pray and not give up. Sometimes a prayer is answered immediately, while other times perseverance in prayer is the only thing that'll bring an answer. You just got to keep on keeping on and persevere no matter what you see or don't see, what is happening or what is not happening. Let me tell you something about prayer. The truth is, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes when first we pray. When we go to heaven and we approach the throne of God and we say, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking for this, that, or the other. And what I'm asking for, I know is in your will because it's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. So I know I'm praying according to the will of God. What we don't see is how God goes into motion and goes into action, and God begins moving in ways that we're not aware of. Did you know that most of what God does, we're never aware of it? Amen. Some of you have been praying for things for a while. You've been targeting something in prayer, and what you don't see is God is already getting you ready for the answer and the answer ready for you. God is moving behind the scenes. There are some prayers that we pray that they're just going to take some time. Sometimes God is getting the right situation ready for you and you ready for the right situation. If he gave it to you the minute you began to pray, it might mess you up. God has to chisel some on you, work some on you, grow you up a little bit, and then God answers that prayer. It's usually a little bit of both. He's getting you ready for the answer and the answer ready for you. But you can be sure that when you pray according to his will, God is moving behind the scenes to answer it in ways you don't see or know until the answer finally arrives. When I was a little boy, I loved trains. I don't know why, because I don't like trains now at all. I like riding on one, but I really try to not have to wait for one to go by. I don't like them that way. When I was a little boy, I loved trains. I was fascinated with trains. And one day, a few weeks before Christmas, my daddy came to me. And my dad said, "Jeff, what do you want for Christmas?" And I just blurted it out. I had faith as a little boy. I blurted it out. I said, "I want a train." He said, "You want a train?" I said, "I want a train." I was about 5 years old. "I want a train." He said, "Okay." I'll never forget that next Christmas morning. I was up early. I was always up early. My dad did this. My dad would get an apple, and he would show it to me the night before. I said, "What's that for?" He said, "This is for Santa." And the next morning, the apple would be eaten to the core, and I go, "Ooh, he was here." But watch this. I was always up early on Christmas morning, down under the tree, opening the presents, and I opened up everything. No train. And then my mom and dad said, "Jeff, come with us." Now, I was in New York. I was born in New York. Don't hold it against me. I was raised in Texas. I'm good. I say y'all instead of use guys. Now, we had a basement because everybody in New York has basements. I was in upstate New York. We had a basement, and my mom and dad took my hand and carried me down to the basement, and my dad said, "Jeff, flip on the light switch." And I flipped the switch, and when I flipped the switch, it activated a Lionel train that my dad had constructed, complete with a headlight, smoke coming out of the locomotive, mountains and hills and valleys that it crossed over and under, and all of those things on a huge piece of plywood. It was amazing. Now watch. I said, "Dad, I want a train." And then he began to answer my prayer. But I didn't know what he was doing. I didn't know that my dad was working behind the scenes in ways I couldn't see. He was out buying plywood. He was constructing the tracks. He was buying the train. He was making and building the hills and the valleys and the bridges. All these things, all I saw was the finished product, the train I'd asked for. And prayer is the same way. You say, "God, I want a train," whatever your train is. "I want a train in Jesus' name. And I know it's your will." And God says, "All right." And what you don't see is he goes to work on your behalf behind the scenes in ways that you don't know. He gets people ready. He gets circumstances ready. He gets money ready. He gets the door ready. He gets everything ready. He sets a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He gets everything ready. And then in the right time, the right moment, in his timing, he says, "Flip on the light switch." And we see the answer, and we go, "Wow." And I can truly say that what my dad did that Christmas was exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask for or even imagine. And that's what the Bible says God does. So that's why we've got to persevere. We've got to be patient with some prayers, because God's moving and you've got to give him time to move. Amen. How many of you have got a train you're waiting for? Come on, you've been praying about some things. Give God time. How many of you have been waiting for a while? How many of you have prayed more than once? How many of you have prayed a lot of times? But you keep on doing it because you know it's the will of God. Come on, let me see your hands. The Bible says persevere, 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 and don't give up, because God is working.
Thanks for tuning in today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. 877-884-3111. You can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Also, did you know that Life Talk is on hundreds of stations all across the country? You may have family or friends who would love to know how they could listen to the program as well. There's a comprehensive station list at our website where they can see how to find the program in their area. Finally, Life Talk is a daily program, but also has daily cost. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these timely messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. So thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.